Tomei Achila. The Gemara says if you have non-kosher food other than chomets, it's sufficient if it's just Tomei Achila for Adam. Because the pasuk says, what do you do if you have nevela? So it says in Chumash Dvarim, La gera shebisharecha titnet abachala, amachal anocha, give it to anocha, give it to a non-Jew. The Gemara derives from that pasuk, it's a Gemara navoy dezor, om nevela haruya la ger, kruya nevela, nevela sheinu ruya kruya, nevela sheinu ruya la ger, again means a gertoshev in the pasuk, anochri, if it's not ruya la chila, ain't a kruya nevela. So that's a din in Kol HaTerakula, if you have tray for food which is nifsal mi'achila for Adam, so the din is that it becomes muta. Pesach, the Gemara has a din, it's a question why this din should be so, a big discussion in Rishonim, right? The Gemara says, Mesach, Mandaf, Memhei, by Pesach it has to be nifsal mi'achila takela. It's not sufficient, Memhei nadeis, it's not sufficient, nifsal mi'achila for Adam, has to be nifsal mi'achila takela. But all of these pills and all of these detergents and all of the toothpaste and everything, everything is nifsa machila takela. So what is there to discuss? Why are they making such a fuss? So the answer is that it's a big machlokes in the Yeridaya regarding the din. Akshavei is an issue. Right, that's another din. Let's say I have a piece of the ham that I left out of the refrigerator and it became spoiled and it's smelling, and if you eat it you get a bellyache. So the din is that it's muta. And I tell it's muta. Nifsa machila takela. So there's a machlekes harishonim. What if a person goes ahead and he eats it? He sits, he likes it. He sits and he eats the whole hand. He gets a bellyache. So that's a machlekes harishonim. So in Shulchan Aruch we pass like the Rosh that it's also to eat midirabbana. If you sit and you eat it, you demonstrate that as far as you're concerned, subjectively, it's royal achila sada. But right, that you're eating it.
But he has a vertex. In other words, not because you like it, but because you know the choice. Like in a concentration camp, there's nothing else to eat.
Nothing else to eat is a mitzvah. That's kikoch nefesh. Kikoch nefesh is doicha kol tarkus. A mitzvah to stay alive. You can eat even delicious, even tasty. You should eat the good ham. Why should you eat the spoiled ham and get a bellyache? Eat the delicious ham and you can enjoy it also. If the din is that kikoch nefesh doicha, you can even enjoy the ham. Some of them didn't enjoy the ham. But
potato peel.
No, if it's not kikoch nefesh, then you mean half? Sure, sachim. Why not? So that's the machlekes harishonim. So there are holes in his comments on the Torah Sabbais LaHarashba. There are holes that it's mutter, and it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that they made a chumah midirabban. And the Rosh has a deal from the Mishnah that there is a nisa midirabban. There is a nisa midirabban. So that's the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch, that if you eat something that's nifsal me'achila sodom, if you personally eat it, so then you're in violation of achila midirabban. Yeah, but that chumah midirabban only applies if the person sits and eats the steak. But if he brushes his teeth with the tray for the toothpaste, all the toothpaste is tray. They all have glycerin. Mamish glycerin. All the toothpaste is tray. So a person brushes his teeth, and then he rinses out his mouth, and he swallows, and the saliva is going to swallow a little bit of toothpaste. That's not akshavei. Akshavei means you sit and you take a whole tube of toothpaste, and you sit and you eat it. That's called akshavei. But if a person just accidentally swallows a little bit in the saliva, that's not called akshavei. Or if a person takes a pill, a person has a sickness, whatever, and he has to take a pill. Let's say iron pills are all from liver. Let's say from nevela. It's all from nevela. The person is going to take an iron pill. So you take an iron pill, that's called akshavei. You demonstrate that as far as you're concerned, it's royal achila. No. The person's taking a pill. So if he would sit and eat, he's sitting and watching television, and he eats a whole jar full of pills, that's like people sit and eat popcorn, potato chips or something like that. So he sits and he keeps on popping one pill, another pill. He eats up a whole 10-pound bag full of pills. So that would be considered akshavei. But he takes one pill every day, or one pill every half a day or something. So most of the pasuk hold that that's not called akshavei. That's not called akshavei. So where does the whole chumah come from? That many rabbanim are insistent that you have to buy products that have no non-kosher ingredients in them. For Pesach and so on. So the issue comes from the following. One of the major commentaries on Yeridaya is the Chavis Das that's written by the Nesivos. It's printed in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Chavis Das assumes, based on his interpretation of the Rambam, that the din of Nifsal Me'achila Sodom and Kol HaTerakula and the din of Nifsal Me'achila Sakela for Pesach, for Chametz B'Pesach, only applies if it's Hisriach V'Hivish, if the thing rotted away and it's spoiled on its own. Let's say I had the bread, and I left it over for half a year, and it became moldy, and it became hard as a rock. So that's nifsa me'achilas hakelev. The dog wouldn't want to eat it. The dog would get a bellyache if he eats this moldy bread. But if I have a chametz dikka or a non-kosher meichel, and I mix in other ingredients, and I make it nifsa me'achilas hakelev because of what I mixed in, so the Chavos Da'as assumes, based on a Rambam, that doesn't count as nifsa me'achilas hakelev. He thinks if you'll eat it, that'll be eating shalokit derech achilosa. That's a different story. That's a lesser kula. But to declare it as nifsam achilos adam and nifsam achilos hakelev, this only applies if it's yisriach v'hivish me'elo.
What?
So that's what the why mehechateisa. Why should you say like that? So that's what most of the poskim do not accept. That the Chazanish does not accept it. Ramosha does not accept it. Soloveitchik, they didn't hold like that. Most of the poskim after him held that it's called nifsam achilos hakelev. On this machilo sodom.
So what is this toothpaste? Can you use any toothpaste?
The Pashta said that you can use any toothpaste. Yeah, years ago, I live in Washington Heights.
Yeah.
So the Breuer family likes to tell over the story that when Adwi first came out with their kosher Pesach toothpaste. So they came to Rabbi Breuer that he should give a hashgacha. So he sized them up, and he decided that they're batlanim, that they're going to go out of business by next year. He guessed wrong. Okay? He guessed wrong. So he thought that they're batlanim, and he refused on principle to give them a heksha because he assumed that next year, even though they were offering money, they wanted to pay for heksha, because he assumed that next year they'll already be bankrupt. They won't have any business, and the people will remember that last year we needed a hashgacha on the toothpaste, and this year there won't be any kosher Pesach toothpaste, so they won't use any toothpaste. He didn't think that was right. He didn't want to be the cause of people not using toothpaste on Pesach, and he figured for sure that this company wouldn't live. Mikir Adin, that's what most of the post call. Mikir Adin, all of these things that are not real achilas kelos. Even though it became not real achilas kelev because you mixed in other ingredients that made it pogum. It's not that it's hisriach v'hivish, it didn't rot, it didn't spoil on its own, it didn't become moldy on its own. But that's what most of the poskim hold, that that's not considered, most of the poskim hold that that's the same, that's called nifsam achilas kelev. And it's not called achshavei, if you use a pill, or if you swallow a pill, or you take toothpaste. Achshavei would mean if you sit and eat a whole bowl full of, a whole jar full of pills, or you eat a whole tube full of toothpaste, a couple of tubes of toothpaste, that's called achshavei. But just because you swallow a little toothpaste in the saliva, that's not called achshavei. The mouthwash is also achshavei.
You use it for what purpose it was made to be used. So if you eat a meal, you eat a meal. But if you're brushing your teeth, you're not going to eat a full tube, you can take a little bit of toothpaste, and when you're using it, you
actuate,
no?
No, actuate means I demonstrate that as far as I'm concerned, it is royal achila. What did I demonstrate? Just because I brush my teeth with this, and I spit it all out, and then a little bit of the mashal goes down in the saliva when I swallow. So that's not called achuate. Same thing, mouthwash. Many of the mouthwashes now have non-kosher ingredients in them. So it's assumed also. The thing is not roi l'achila, and that's not called achshavei. After you finish rinsing your mouth out, you spit it out. If a little bit goes down in the saliva, that's not called up. 3 Pesach Frank writes in the Shuvah. That's not called achshavei. Achshavei is if you'll stand and drink a couple of bottles of this stuff because you enjoy it. People don't drink bottle salt. So the Pashtus is like that, that it's not a problem. The Gemara says that if a person is leaving his home within 30 days before Pesach, he's obligated to do Bedikas Chametz, even though he doesn't plan to be there in the middle of Chol HaMoed. And if he leaves, let's say some people have a summer home, and they leave, they were there for Thanksgiving, or they were there, in January, intercession, whatever. They were there in January, in February, for Hanukkah, whatever. And then they're leaving the summer home way before 30 days before Pesach, but they plan to come in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So then the Gemara says also, they're obligated to do Bedikas Chametz when they leave Hanukkah time if they plan to come in the middle of Chol HaMoed. But let's say a person is leaving his home way before he was there Hanukkah, And he doesn't plan to come somehow, and he doesn't plan to come in the middle of Chametz, the Ninigan is not obligated to do B'dikas Chametz. What happens if he knows that he has Chametz over there? So that's the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machlokes Acharon. Not that he's not sure if he has Chametz. He knows that he has he knows cereal. That he has cereals there and other things. So that's the Machlokes. Is that proper to rely to just to leave everything around all over the kitchen and all over the rooms? Because he's leaving before 30 days and he's not going to come Chalamot. So that's the Machlokes. But let's say the person already left. He didn't know that there's a machlokes in the Mishnah Berurah. And now he comes to ask a shalas. Is he mechuyav to go spend 2-3 hours to go to the mountains in order to make a bdikas chometz? So the pashtus says, not mechuyav. He's not mechuyav to go make a bdikas chometz now. He'll sell a chometz, and sure. He'll sell whatever chometz he has. He'll fashrive the chometz. When he sells all the rest of the chometz to the nachri, he writes, he's selling the chometz in the basement, he's selling the chometz in the factory. He has a factory in Europe. He has a home in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know who this person is. He has a home in California. And he has a home in the mountains, whatever. So he's selling all the chametz in all the locations where there happens to be. So the Rishonim have a dispute on the Gemara in the first parak in Psachim, when it says that you have an obligation to do B'dikas chametz in advance of Leil B'dika. Does one recite a bracha or not? When you do B'dika kodim mizmanai, do you recite a bracha? So on Shulchan Aruch there are more paskins that you don't recite a bracha. So I remember when we were learning the Gemara, I think Rav Soloveitchik said that probably the reason why you don't recite a bracha is because it's not a mitzvah b'shlei musaf. The only time you say a bracha is when it's a mitzvah b'shlei musaf. It's shaloi b'shlei musaf. You don't take, for example, if a baby is nolad mohul. Baby boy is nolad mohul, so there's nothing to do a bris about, so you do a hatofa sam bris. So the hatofa, let's say, if a nochri, by mistake, a nochri did a bris milo, or they did a milo terch shmaina. So we paskin, the shach paskins, and yeridah against the Ramah, the shach paskin, whenever the bris was done improperly, you always have to do a hatovah sambris. So whenever you perform a hatovah sambris, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that you do b'li broch. The Ramah says you do the hatovah sambris b'li broch. So it's assumed the reason why is because it's an incomplete mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah b'shlei musaf. Yeah, there we understand why it's incomplete. Because you're not cutting off the or ha'orlo. Usually, milo consists of three different parts. It consists of milo, removing the outer skin, the thick skin, and priya, removing the lower skin, which is a thinner membrane, and then atofas adam. And now, when you do atofas adam, you're only having the third part. You only have the left part. You're missing the milo cutting off the outer skin, and the priya cutting off the second skin. You're only doing the one third. So that's takamitz v'shlov v'shlei musa. But what's over here? The B'dikas Chometz, you spend the same hour doing B'dikas Chometz, the night Leil B'dika that Gan Klal Yisrael is doing, or if you do it 3 weeks in advance, why should this be considered so much of a mitzvah shalav b'shalay musa? Let's say you do a milah shalav b'zmano. Do a milah shalav b'zmano is also shalav b'shalay musa. For our raya, that a milah shalav b'zmano is not Becha Shabbos. So the mitzvah b'shalay musa is milah b'zmano and neshmini. If you do shalav b'shalay musa, it's incomplete, but you still say all the brachas and a milah shalav b'zmano. So that if Yehuda raises the possibility that maybe the suda that you, the party that you have, the covered mitzvah shalav b'zmano, since the mitzvah shalav b'shalay musa, maybe it's not enough of a suda's mitzvah to allow everybody to eat on tainis pcheris. Because in that Yehuda writes, he has a very brief tshuva, one paragraph. Usually his tshuvas are much longer than this. So he writes a one paragraph tshuva. The minig was in Prague, where he was the rabbi, that on every Erev Pesach they always had a bris. And it wasn't such a big city. So how can that be that they always had a bris on every Erev Pesach? So the last baby that was born who wasn't well, who wasn't able to have the bris, bismanoi, they would say they would postpone it another couple of weeks. They would postpone another couple of weeks until Erev Pesach. They rigged it. So if you have a baby, he's going to have a meal of bismanoi, so you're not allowed to rig it. But if you have, because you're mabatel a meal of bismanoi, but if you have a baby, that bein kovko is going to have a meal of shalot bismanoi. So they were postponed a couple of weeks. So he says he thinks that it's not a proper practice for two reasons. So one reason is he thinks even though you had to postpone it, but you're not allowed to postpone it another day. Yeah, more than is absolutely necessary. You have to do it the first available opportunity. In fact, there's a famous shuvah in the Dvar Avraham, where the Dvar Avraham writes, you have to perform the milo shalav b'zman at the first available opportunity. Mamish, the first available opportunity.
Okay.
Yeah. When the doctor gives the okay, so let's say the doctor approves it at 10 o'clock in the morning, so you got a good 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, as soon as you can get a moil. Aye, but you can't gather together people, the caterer can't make a party. They make the party next week, make the party tomorrow, it doesn't matter. You have to do mamish the first day. You don't even have all day long. If it's mila bishmini, so it says kala yom kasha la mila, except viz magdimim mitzvahs, you do it in the morning, you have to do it late in the afternoon. So you're mavatla a little bit, viz magdimim mitzvahs, but it's still mila bishmana. But he says that zavram tainis. If it's a mila shalai bishmana, then you have to do it mamish at the first available opportunity. You can't even wait another hour later. That's his chiddush. His chiddush was generally not accepted. He said a chiddush. Let's say the moel has two brisim to attend. One is a mila bizmana, one is a mila shalom bizmana. So which one? And he can arrange, the moel can arrange his schedule however he wants. So which is preferable? Should he do first the mila bizmana, or first the mila shalom bizmana? So all the classical poskim on Yoriday, all right, the mila bizmana is a mitzvah bishleimus, the mila shalom bizmana is a mitzvah shalom bishleimus, and the Mishnah says in Zvachim, if you're interested in performing two mitzvahs, so there's a Seder Kedima. Which one should you do first? Which one should you do second? So if one is Tarda Vishena, Tarda, Tarda Kedima, here they're both Bris Mila. They're both Bris Mila, so they're both equally Tarda. But if you have one mitzvah is more important than the other, Mekudish, Veina Mekudish, Mekudish Kedima, that mitzvah which is holier, which is more chashuv, should be performed first. So that's what all the classical poskim printed on the side of the Yeridei, that's what they write. That the Mila Bizmana is considered more Mekudish than the Mila Shalai Bizmana, so you should have the Mila Bizmana scheduled earlier in the day. And the Dvar Avraham has his famous Chiddush in the first volume of his Tshuvas, that he thinks Vakeret, that the Mila Shalai Bizmana, you're over b'chol rega. Every minute that the father is able to perform the Brit and he doesn't perform it, so he's Mavatl a Mitzvah. So he's as opposed to the Mila Bizmana, you have all day to do it. So it's a Brentish, it's just an Indian of Zizim Akdim and Mitzvahs. So let her first schedule the Mila Shaloi Bizmana, that's what he says, and then do the Mila Bizmana. So that's what the Dvar Avraham is Mechadish in the first volume. He was the last Rabban Kovner. He died in the middle of the Second World War. He died from disease before the Nazis had a chance to kill him. The whole ghetto was under siege. So he died then. So the beginning of the second Chelik of the Dvar Avraham, he has quite a few Tshuvas, 5 or 10 Tshuvas, where all of Rabbonim attacked him. That everybody disagreed in here, and he stuck to his guns, he keeps on insisting that he's right, against all the classical poskim. But the minig is not like the Dvar Avraham, as far as that's concerned. Yeah, but over there, let's say you have a mila shaloi bizmana. So it's a little bit shaloi bishlei musa, but you say a bracha. Yeah. So why is the bedikat chomet shaloi bizmana? Oh, so the pashta says you have to say differently. Not that it's a mitzvah shaloi bishlei musa, it's a different word. The stomach of the pshat is that on the first daf,
not going to lead up to
the Rishonim give two explanations for what the Bedikas Chametz is all about. So some of the Rishonim say that the Bedikas Chametz is in order to avoid violation of Bal Yerubay Mogim. And other Rishonim say that Bedikas Chametz is in order to avoid Shaloyov Liochlo. He shouldn't all year long he eats these kind of things if he's going to have it around the house, and he'll just rely on Bittul, he'll just be Mevatel Chametz. So it's Egzei Rishem Yovel Yachlo. And other Rishonim, and the Ran develops a different explanation. He says that there are two things in the Halacha that you're not permitted to possess. You're not permitted to possess Avodah Zarah. You're not permitted to have in your ownership anything that possibly happens to be talking about Irani Dachas. That all the property of Irani Dachas is labeled as Dvarim Shal Avodah Zarah. But also included, the Gemara Pesachim says that also included in that pasuk is Avodah Zarah. That's on the top of Mem Ches Amen Aleph. The pasuk Le'idbach Biyotchum Imen Acherim is the mocker for the din we had it in Makkos. We're learning the end of Makkos. Elein Aloikin. So this same Gemara was quoted there in Makkos. So there's a prohibition against possessing anything Shal Avodah Zarah. There's a mitzvah of destroying Biur Avodah Zarah. So the same applies. The Ran writes the Hashva. The same applies regarding Chometz. There's an Isser. While you are by Mati, you're not permitted to possess Chometz. And even their Pesach after Chatzai, that according to most of the Rishonim, while you are by Mati, doesn't apply, because the Pesach in Chumash, Al Pipashta, says, Shivat Yomim, Psor, Lo Yimati, Bevatechim, says, Shivat Yomim. It doesn't say 7.5 days. There is a Rashi in Psochim that the Migdaloi is on the bottom of the Raman, picks up that Rashi on Daf Chavches. Rashi sounds like he says that there's while you are by Mati already on Er Pesach in the afternoon. So most of the poskim hold that it's not so. Bayura doesn't begin until the Leil Pesach, till Shivat Yom. But still, Tesis points out, on Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, is forbidden to possess Chometz because of the Pasuk of Tashbisu. Pasuk says, Ach, B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu. Yom HaRishon refers to Erev Pesach, doesn't refer to the first day Yom Tov. And the word ach means ach chilek. That's how the Gemara explains in the first parak. Ach chilek, you split the day in half. So starting from chatzoisa and then atayra, the din is you're supposed to see to it that all of the chametz is gone, and you're not allowed to have any chametz in your possession. So that's, it's kimat the same as bal yirah by matzah, except instead of having a loisah, it's an iser aseh. Tashbisu. If you maintain chametz in your possession, it's an iser aseh. So you have an iser to possess it, and then you have a mitzvah to destroy it. By avodah zarah, there's a din asherem tisu from breishav sili elohem tigadeon, and so on. You have to have biur avodah zarah. And here by chametz it says tashbisu, you have to destroy it. So there, by avodah zarah, the Gemara says that there's a difference between biur avodah zarah and Eretz Yisrael and chutz lord. In Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara learns that from the pasuk tzorach l'sharish achreel. You have to search out the avodah zarah. You have to be bodik. You have to try to, even if you don't know where the avodah zarah is, echutz lord, you know, if I know, I moved into a house. And I see there's a Dovish al Avodah Zarah there, and I'm the Balabas, I have the right to do whatever I want, so I'm Mechayiv to destroy it. I'm Mechayiv to go to Central Park and to go dig under the ground to see if there are any Avodah Zarah hiding there. Not Mechayiv, but in Eretz Yisrael, you are Mechayiv to go search out and to find where the Avodah Zarahs are, and then to destroy them. So that's what they run, and quoting Shulchan Aruch, the Ran says that maybe here there's a din by Pesach also, a chelik of the mitzvah of biur chametz of tashbisu is tarach l'sharish achreya. That bedike could be a mitzvah min haTorah. Half of the rishonim hold that if the person wasn't yet mevatel l'chametz, so the bedike of chametz is a din min haTorah. Just like by avodah zarah, tarach l'sharish achreya. So if you're going to say that bedike of chametz is a chelik of the mitzvah either min haTorah mid rabbanim, you're going to say that Vidika is the chelik of the mitzvah of Tashbisu, so the mitzvah of Tashbisu is only on Yud Dalad Nissen. It doesn't apply. If I'm going away on vacation, Yud Nissen, I'm going early at Purim, I'm leaving, how can you say that there's a mitzvah of Tashbisu on Purim? The mitzvah of Tashbisu is only Beyom Rishon, Ach Beyom Rishon Tashbisu. So that perhaps is the explanation why. If a person eats kosher food, he doesn't say a bracha b'riches ha-mitzvah. She grishonim in mitzvot v'tzivano, not to eat non-kosher food. A person shaves with an electric shaver, he doesn't recite a bracha she grishonim in mitzvot v'tzivano, not to shave with a razor. You don't, the Rosh writes in the beginning of Ksubis, you don't recite a bracha when you're avoiding violation of a loisah. You only recite a bracha when you're in fulfillment of a mitzvah saseh. So when a person does bedikas chametz b'mukdam, he does bedikas chametz before leil yudalit. So the bedikah is not really a fulfillment of a mitzvah, it's just in order not to violate by Rabbi Matzah, in order not to violate Sharia, Shadayov Liyachlo. But only when he does the bedikah's chametz on Leil Yudalit, that's the Yom Rishon, that's Achma Yom Rishon Tashbisu. Min HaTorah, probably only Bayom. We split the day in half, Achilek, the first half of the day, second half of the day. But the night before Yudalit, so that's Midir Abon, they moved up this man of the mitzvah of Tashbisu to Leil Yudalit also, but they never moved it up to Purim. They didn't move it up to Chanukah. He was there in the summer home on Chanukah, and he's leaving. He doesn't plan. He does plan to come back on Chol HaMoed. So the din is he has to make bedikas chametz. So he's not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu on Chanukah. Mitzvah Tashbisu only begins on Yudalit. And after it's only Yudalit by Yom, and Midirabbanan, they moved it up to Leil Yudalit also, the night before Yudalit. So perhaps that's the explanation why we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that a bracha is only recited on the bedikah of chametz when it's done bismanai. If the bedikah is done shalom bismanai, then we pass and you don't say a bracha. So machlokes in the Rishon, we pass and you don't say a bracha. 150 years ago, there was a big machlokes in Europe. If a person travels to a different time zone, is he in violation of Bayurabai Motzei? If where he is, it's not Pesach, but where the Chametz is, it is Pesach. If I care, he's in a place where it is Pesach, but where the Chametz is, it's not Pesach. So today, it's a very common issue. Yeah, people go to Eretz Yisrael, people go to California. So it's always such a machlokes, whether the Bayur Bay Matzah depends on the Mokam HaChametz or depends on the Mokam of the Bala HaChametz. So that's why the practice is, all the Rabbanim know, that they have to make a separate Mechiras Chametz for those who are traveling either east or west to a different time zone, and they make it clear that they do the Mechiras Chametz at the earlier of the two Zmanim, and they only bite back at the later of the both Zmanim, to make sure that you're covered with both opinions. Because it was a big machlokes 150 years ago, at the time of Magolias, Not a gdolim. Today the practice is that that we go in both directions l'chumra. When we ask the rabbi to sell the chametz for us, some balabata make a mistake. They think that they're selling the chametz to the rabbi. And now it's the rabbi's headache. It's his problem. Ma'i said, we're not selling the chametz to the rabbi. The rabbi has enough problems with his own chametz. He's not interested in having a balura and a balabatim's chametz. But we are appointing the rabbi as a shliach. So that's why the Rambam raises a problem. We have a minhag. The Rambam writes, a very old minhag, when you appoint somebody as a shliach to do something for you, like over here, you appoint the rabbi as a shliach to sell a chametz for you. So the Rambam writes that it's not necessary to make a kinyan suitor, and it doesn't even take effect. It's not meaningful, it's not necessary, and it makes no sense whatsoever. He says the minhag is that you make a kinyan suitor. That the rabbi is now acquiring the power of attorney, the rabbi is now acquiring the right to act on behalf of the balabas, to sell the chametz on his behalf. So the meaning is that the rabbi gives the kelim shel kaina, the rabbi's kaina, the right to sell. So the rabbi gives his handkerchief to the balabas to clinch the deal. What deal? To clinch the deal of the minui hashlichas, to appoint him. Later, when the rabbi sells the chametz to the nachri is supposed to give his handkerchief to the rabbi. I was once present when the rabbi gave his handkerchief to the nachri. That's a mistake. Gemara has a machlekes whether the kelim shel kaina, the kelim shel makna. So we talk in the kelim shel kaina. So the nachri is now the one who's acquiring the ownership of the chametz. He has to give his handkerchief.
But they don't. I think the nachri does not.
The nachri is supposed to give his kli. He doesn't have to give a handkerchief. He gives a pair of glasses. He gives a pen. He gives his garfel. If he has a garfel, whatever kind of a kli he has.
And a Kenyan siddur does not mean a siddur only. It can be anything at all.
Any kli that has kashivas.
Usually you use the clothes. You use the handkerchiefs. They didn't have anything. They didn't have pens.
Yeah. Any kli that has any kashivas. Mar says... Yes, the Rambam writes that strictly speaking, you don't have to make a kinyan. It's not really necessary. Right, same thing. As long as they notify the rabbi. But the Rambam says that the minig is that you do make a kabbalas kinyan. When you point the rabbi as the shlich, you make a kabbalas kinyan. So the chazanish and the stipler, whenever they would appoint a rabbi as a shliach from the Chiras Chometz, they would never bother to make a kabbalas kinyan, because the Rambam says that it's a minig shtus. You're not supposed to follow minig shtus. That's how they read the Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik said that's how the Rambam starts off. The Rambam starts off by saying that it's not necessary to have a kinyan suitor, and even if you do the kinyan suitor, nothing, absolutely nothing is accomplished and you don't need it. But then the Rambam goes ahead to explain why the minig is that you do make a kinyan suitor. So Rav Soloveitchik was very insistent on observing the minig. That's why he said that even if a balabas calls up the last minute, he forgot to fashrive in the chametz, and he wants the rabbi to sell the chametz for him. Rav Soloveitchik explained that it's not proper to do the minui hashlichas without a kinyan suitor. You should still make a kinyan. They gave different answers. How can you fulfill this minig that the Rambam mentions if the balabas calls up on the telephone? They gave different answers.
Again, to make sure,
Right. So he thought, Rav Soloveitchik thought, that it's not a minig shtus, because the Rambam himself goes off in the first halacha, the Rambam says, not necessary, nothing is accomplished, meaningless. Then the next halacha, the Rambam does make sense out of the minig, so it's not a minig shtus, it's a good minig. And the Chazon Ish not so, the Chazon Ish like the first line of the Rambam, it's a minig shtus, a minig shtus.
Why is it a minig shtus?
Because
what is this for? Why is it a minig shtus?
A minig that doesn't accomplish anything, just a ceremony. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, ceremonious, also by the Katholikim. He said, we don't have any ceremonies. I'm in Hagim, so he says, no, every minig has a kiyum. If you have a minig that doesn't have a kiyum, it's a minig shtus. Chazon Ish also held the same thing, but they argued which minig has a kiyum.
Yeah.
All the Gdolim hold the same thing. A minig that doesn't have a kiyum is a minig shtus. But some Gdolim held that this minig has a kiyum, and others held, no, it has no kiyum. So that's a minig shtus. That's what they call it. Rabbi Natam has a famous tshuva where he talks about the text of the get. It's quoted on the bottom of the Mordechai Masechus Gittin. They have the Shulta Giborim printed on the bottom of the page. It has a long tshuva from the Rabbi Natam. The Rabbi Natam talks about the text of the get. He's not happy about the nusach that they used in a different community. So he says, you should know, even though that's the meaning, so you should know that the word meaning is oisi as gehenim. Mem, nun, hey, gimel, is gimel, hey, nun, mem. He says, sometimes a meaning, you go to gehenim for observing a meaning. You have to judge every meaning to determine whether it's a meaning shtus Or take a good minute.
About saying the Agoda of Pesach in the daytime. So he also has something exclusive.
Oh, the Bir Agro?
Yeah, no, that's...
No, the Bir Agro, right.
Yeah. Shabbos Agoda.
Shabbos Agoda, I mean, right. Shulchan Aruch says that the minig in Shabbos Agoda, everybody says the Agoda, so the Vilna Gaon holds that that's the minig shtus, and he was mevatel. You shouldn't say. Yeah, different minhag, different minhag. So you have to determine in any given minig whether it's a meaningful minig or it's not a meaningful minig. The Maisa, there's a big machlekes of Rishonim exactly which, if I put my chometz in a box and I give it to the nochri and I give it to his apartment and he takes it into his house, so then he gives me $10, so the holidays is kind of the chometz. So there's no shayla how to do mechivas chometz. That's what I always used to do. I used to put all the schnapps in a cardboard box and I gave it to the nochri. And he gave me $10 for all the schnapps that I had. And then I would say, in case, after the holiday, if you don't want it, I'll be happy to buy it back. So before I began Bedikas Chometz, all the schnapps were gone already. In a half an hour, all the schnapps were gone. There was nothing to discuss, but after Pesach, because he got a bargain. $10 for all the schnapps. He didn't want to wait till after Yom Tov to negotiate what's going to be. So if you give the Chometz to the Nachri, and he gives you some money, so for sure he's kind of, that's no shock. Shaila is, if the chametz stays in my house and I'm selling a kinyan to the nachri, so exactly which kinyan do you make? So lemaisa, we make six kinyanim because there are pukim on each one. The Mishnah Berurah refers you to a ktsais achoshen, the original institution of mechiras chametz was patterned after mechiras behema hamavakeres. If you have years ago, the Jews used to be farmers. So if you have a cow that's about to give birth the first time, so there's a 50-50 chance it may be a zocher, maybe in a cave it's going to be a zocher, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we can't be makrib the b'chor b'hem esayra, but you have to wait till it gets a mum, and you're not permitted to cause it to get the mum. And it can take forever, sometimes it'll take a few years till it's going to develop a mum. So you're going to be stuck with it. So the Tesis writes in b'chor b'hem gimel and beis, the practice that they developed was, you do mechiras behema hamavakeres. You sell the behema that's about to give birth to a b'chor, that's called behema hamavakeres, about to give birth to a b'chor. You sell a shutfus to the goy. But I don't want to have a shutfus for the goy. So the Gemara says, you sell him an ear. You sell him a gum. You sell one part. A piece of the behema. A piece of the mother that's about to give birth.
Yeah.
The Gemara has a whole discussion how significant a piece of the animal do you have to sell to the nachri. So Taisa says you sell the behema hamavakeres to the goy, and since there's a shutfus nachri, so the whole din of b'chor behema Torah doesn't apply. You solve your whole problem like that. So originally, the Rishonim and the Achrayim all discussed which kinyanim do you make when you're selling the behema hamavakeres to the goy. So they worked out this whole system that you make six kinyanim. And then when they started the institution of Mechiras Chometz, like we have today, they said, you do it exactly the way you do Mechiras Behema HaMavakeres. You do it the same way. So Lemaisa, our practice is that we do six kinyan. It's a little complicated, so that's why instead of a Balabas doing it himself, they should ask the rabbi to do it. And if the rabbi does know, he should make sure he consults another rabbi who does know. Usually that's what they do. All the rabbonim get together in the neighborhood. They all sell the Chometz together. The Gedolim in Europe had a big machlokes. What about if a person owns shares in a corporation? Let's say a chometzik corporation. So does he have to sell the shares in the corporation or not? According to the din of the Malchus, the corporation owns the chometz. The corporation is a separate entity. I own shares in the corporation, but I don't own any of the chometz. So there's no bayu or bayma. So the corporation is not a human being. B'chalas, nishkin yitz, nishkin goy. It's a zami bailim. It's a chaloshem bailim. What we call in halacha, chaloshem bailim. So that was a big machlokes in the poskim 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Do we recognize this concept of a corporation? Do we recognize this? That I own shares in the corporation, but I'm not the bailim. So some held that we recognize it, said it's not by you or by your mother. Others said, no, we don't recognize it. It's Shali, but still it's ain't a Bishusi. And the Ramban writes on Chumash, there's only a violation about your by mother. If the Chumash is Shali, you Bishusi. That's what Abitzel Panevisha has in his Chuvah. Abitzel Panevisha has a Chuvah, Zecha Yitzchak, that shares in the corporation may be considered Shali, But it's certainly not Bishusi. I'm going to come in and I'm going to say, I have a 1% share, so give me 1% of all of the cookies that you baked. And so they'll throw me out. According to the rules and regulations, the bylaws of the corporation, you have no right to come and balabatav and say whatever you want. So true it shall leave, but it's ain't a Bishusi. Bishusi means I have access to it, and I can balabatav it. So that's what some poskim said, based on the Ramban, that you need shaloy Bishusi in order to violate Bayurav. Bayurav Bayimot. Others came up with a different suggestion.
Why should it be different than Bechor as a Chor?
By Bechor, whether what?
When you have Shutfus with a Goy.
If you have any Shutfus with a Goy, even though the Jew owns 99.99% of the Hema, but if the Goy owns 1%, no, so the whole, the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, Yad Nochi Bemsa. Any share, any slight share is owned by the Nochi, so the Vlad that's born will not have a din of Bechor Behemoth.
So why should it...
No, but here by Chomet, the Chelek that the Jew owns, no, if the Jew owns the Chelek, he has value of by Mutter. The Goy owns a Chelek, the Goy is not Muzer of value of by Mutter.
That's one piece. It's
yeah.
To be a majority into corporation.
Oh, he has a majority, he has the say.
Yeah.
Yes, he has 60%, and he does have a day, then it will be Shaloi Bashusa. Then there will be a problem. Unless you should hope from the first tzad that some of the poskim held, that we recognize the Din of the Malchus on this matter, and it's not called Shali. I'm not considered the corporation owns the Chametz. I own a share in the corporation. The corporation owns the Chametz. I don't really own the Chametz. That's a question, whether we recognize that or not. One of the Gedolim, one of the Galatian Gedolim, the Aryeh Debei lawyer.
Vishnitz. The Vishnitz.
Vishnitz.
Not Vishnitz. Vishnitz.
Vishnitz. So he has what he was a mechutna of the Shinava. No, mechutna of the Divrei Cheskel, of the Shinava. So he has a tshuva where he writes a very difficult tzad l'hokal. He says, let's say the Jew owns 1% in a business, and it's a bakery, a chametzika bakery. So he says that the chametz of the Jew is batel b'shishim. Mm-hmm. Chametz karem ha-pesach is batel b'shishim. What do you mean chametz karem ha-pesach? And when they make all the profit, so they don't have to give me my share. I own 1%. Let's say 99% of the chametz of the bakery is owned by a non-Jew, and the Jewish lawyer, let's say, in addition to whatever salary he gets, although let's say this is his salary, the Jewish lawyer. His salary is that he owns 1% of the whole business, he gets 1% of the profit. So the Nochem are going to say, no, your share is but for the Shishim, so we don't have to give you anything. That's ridiculous. So the Gemara says in the end of Beit HaMamayin Aloy Batul. The Din of Bittul Berev only applies to Yisurim, and Yisur is Batul. Gemara says, Mechariz Tumah is Batul. Adava Tame falls into Adava Tare. It gets all mixed in together. So Tumah Vatar is in the area of religion. The Tumah V'Tar is Batul V'Roi. The Nisar is Batul V'Roi. But Mamoina is not Batul V'Roi. The Gemara says, if I have 5 nickels in my hand, and you drop a nickel, and now I have 6 nickels, and we can't identify which is yours, which is mine. So the Gemara says, I can walk off with all the 6 nickels and say Batul V'Roi. Of course not. I have to give you back a nickel. Mammon is not Batul. So what does he say over here? That the Jewish lawyer owns 1% of the corporation, so since there are 99 units against it, so Batul V'Shishim comes Karma Pesach, Batul, what kind of business? The Geta Vek, Aganta Tshuva, a complicated Tshuva, where he says, yeah, that the Mammon is not Batul, but with respect to the Yisra Heter, that's a function of the Mammon is Batul, Ashvera Tshuva. Then he's bothered with another Kasha, that there's a famous Tosfos in Tzmura, where Tosfos quotes his Rebbe, Omer Rabbeinu Harav, it doesn't say who it is, Omer Rabbeinu Harav, that the concept of Bittul only applies if something was treif, it was once Nikr, and then it was Nisarav afterwards. The thing was Tomei and it fell in. It was Treif and it fell in. But here it was never Nikir. We made it, we'd entered into a partnership. I own 1% and the Nochri owns 99%. Which 1% is mine? It was never Mavura. If we'll ever make a Chalukah, then it'll be Mavura. But it was never Mavura. So how can you speak about Bittul Berai? Bittul Berai means I once had something that was Treif. And it fell in and it lost its identity and the conglomerate. It got lost. So then you say Bubble. But if it was always like that. It was always the Tarubis. It was never Nikah. So this Aryeh Debei law works on that also. Aryeh Debei law is a tiger.
The Gemara says. The Gemara Mechudin says.
The expression, yeah.
Yeah.
Aryeh Debei law means the lion that comes from the upper region. They didn't have any tigers in there, so they had lions. In the days of Tanakh, they had lions. Now they don't have any lions. So they used to refer to a tiger as an Aryeh Debei law from the upper area, from Asia. So this guy who wrote a Tshuva Sefer, he held that he was a tiger, fierce. He has this Shver, a Tshuva. where he talks about the Bittul Bishishim. So he takes on that Taisus also. He discusses that Taisus in Tvor, and he explains why the Taisus doesn't apply. It's questionable. Anyway, these are issues that come up. Aloha Maitre, someone forgot to sell his Kamei, that he had. The proper thing is that we should, whoever has shares in a Chametzika corporation, or whoever has shares in any corporation, there's always some Chametz in the refrigerator. So the proper thing is, when you sell a Chametz, you should sell everyone, including the shares as well.
How do you sell the shares in a corporation the same way as you sell the
Chametz? Strictly speaking, if you're really selling shares, you got to go make a whole...
Stock transfer.
So we are makel that this is sufficient. That we do a mechiras chametz, we assume that this is sufficient. It's also questionable. The Chazon Ish points out from the Gemara in Psachim that it's not necessary to sell chametz dikat pots and pans. That there is no din of bal yirah bay motzei on the blias kelim. That's the Gemara in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that there was a dispute between Rav and Shmuel. There was a machlekes hatanayim whether the din of chometz over all of our pesach is a din deraisa, din derabbanan. Machlekes Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon. So we paskin it's only a din mederabbanan, and it's only a penalty for having a knas, for having violated by your rabbi matzah. So what if the chometz was in the possession of a nochri during pesach, so no one violated by your rabbi matzah? So then the Mishnah says that there's no penalty. Hemtel shal nochri, shal over all of our pesach, that's the Mishnah chav chesem and our. Chametz belong to a nochri, shal over our pesach, muta ba'no. Why? Because the Mishnah assumes like Rav Shimon, the chametz shal over our pesach is only a knas from the Rabbanan. They only made the knas, but the owner of the chametz was a yid, and he was in violation of Ba'yura. If you would have accepted the view of Rav Yehuda, the chametz shal over our pesach is a nisa deraisa, when it comes to pesach, all the chametz in the world is also ba'no. It doesn't matter whether it belongs to a Jew, belongs to a Goy, so it doesn't help. You're going to wait till after Pesach, you buy from a Goyish shopkeeper, it doesn't help. Or you sell your Chametz to a Goy, you better sell it, you can't buy it back after Pesach. You better sell it to a Goy, Mechira, more of the Echlet, because after Pesach, everything is also bound up. But we don't pass like Rav Yehuda, we pass like the Mishnah. The Chametz of Pesach is only a penalty in the Rabbanon, so it doesn't apply if the Chametz was owned by a Nochem.
Chomesh of Nochi, according to this shita, would be even, are you not allowed to be over Balyuhu, 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 if you see,
no,
not be over
no. Only Balyuhu is only for belonging to me, But even though nobody violated Balyuhu by Moshe, still Chomesh of Pesach will be an Issa Deraisa to eat it. It's not a Knas for having, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a penalty for having violated Balyuhu. So the Gemara has a discussion.
Yeah.
I don't know if you say Leutblug, let's say Chametz b'Pesach is also b'Achila, also b'Hanor. So if a Goy, I'm walking by a Goyish bakery. So the Goy is friendly with me, he says, Rabbi, come in and have a cookie. It's all kosher. Let's say all the cookies are kosher. But it's Chametz. See, that's not a Leutblug. Chametz is also, a Jew is not allowed to eat Chametz on Pesach. Or let's say I'm not going to eat the chametz, I'll walk by, I'll smell the chametz. I enjoy smelling the chametz. So the din of Issa Hanor applies to chametz shal nachri the Pesach as well. On Pesach. So this Tana Rav Yehuda holds, all chametz on Pesach becomes Asa Bachila Ba'anor L'Yoyman V'ed. No matter who owns it. Just like you're not allowed to eat it to smell it on chametz, so that Issa remains after Pesach. If you eat it on Pesach, it's curry. If you eat it after Pesach, it's Allah. Yeah, I don't know if you have to say it's a light blue. That's the din. Chametz on Pesach becomes also and remains also. We don't know what. No, we paskin it's midirabonim. We paskin
it.
Yeah, he learns that from a pasuk. He learns that from a pasuk that there's a love the right of Malkus. The Gemara says you get Malkus. The Gemara says, my time of the Rav Yehuda, I'm chav ches on the base. What's the source of Rav Yehuda? The Gemara says, Talosa Kroi Ksiv, it says three times that you're not allowed to eat chametz. So one pasuk goes on Pesach, one lav is on Pesach, one lav goes on Erev Pesach after Hatzais, and one lav goes on Chametz Sha'ovah, all about Pesach, that's a lav deraisa, so that you get Malkus. But the Mishnah says, we don't talk like Rav Yehuda. The Stam Mishnah is like Rav Shimon. The Chametz Sha'ovah, all about Pesach, is only a penalty with the Rabbanim, because the owner was a Jew, and he violated by Rabbi Matzah, so he's penalizing. But if the owner was an Ochri, there was no violation, so there's no penalty. So the Gemara says, this machlekes Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon wasn't resolved so quickly. In the days of the Amoraim, in the days of Rabbi Shmuel, the first generation of Amoraim, is still a machlekes. So Rav held like Rav Yehuda. The Chomet Shalom HaPesach is an Issa Deraisa. So you can't buy your chametz from the goy, you have to pay. So all the chametz that exists in the world on Pesach is also liyar lampoy. It never becomes a mutar. And Shmuel holds the way we follow. We happen to follow Shmuel over here. Usually in Nisa the Heter we follow Rav, and usually in Nidimam is Mufasa and Shmuel, but there are exceptions to the rule. So this is clearly an exception to the rule. The Rav tells a story. The Rav had Balabatim who went along with him. He told his Balabatim that all the chametz that belongs to the goyim is all bachil. So Rav told the Balabatim every year the same story would go on. The china dishes that they have that are chametzik, they have to smash them all when it comes to Pesach and throw them out in the garbage because they can't kosher china dishes. And when it comes to Pesach, the bliya in the china dishes, when I had breakfast, and there Pesach in the morning, I had the chametzik breakfast, everything was kosher. But then when it comes to Pesach, the bliya in the chametzik dishes becomes chametz, and it remains also the yarmah for it, and you can't kosher china dishes. So he says, Kederis for Pesach yishavru. You have to smash all the china dishes, and when you have, let's say you don't have china dishes, you have metal dishes, you have to kasher. He has a separate set for Pesach and a separate set for all year long. The chametzik dishes, you have to kasher every year,
because
they may as well use it for Pesach. It doesn't pay to have two sets of dishes if you have to kasher it anyway. He says, you're not allowed to use the chametzik set after Pesach unless you kasher it, because chametz aval Pesach anisa deraisa. According to Shmuel, the Chumash of Pesach is only a penalty if you violate it by Matzeh. So there is no Bal Yeram B'lias Kelim. There is no Bal Yeram B'lias Kelim. So there's no need to smash the china dishes, and there's no need to kasher all the Chumash Digger dishes. You have a separate set of Pesach Digger dishes. Well, you have to kasher the Chumash Digger dishes. That's how we pass them, like Shmuel. But Rav held like Reb Yudah. The Chumash of Pesach is in Yisad Deraisa. So he says, even though there's no Bal Yeram B'Matzeh, and B'lias Kelim, but still, the Issa Chametz is Chal on the Blias Kalim, which is after Pesach, and they would charge an arm and a leg. Yeah. They would charge because they knew that everybody was stuck. They had no, the Rav, the Mar, the Asa Gitaskin, that everybody has to smash, have to throw out all the china dishes and buy new ones. So they had, everyone was stuck, so they had to spend a fortune, so they charged a fortune of money. So Shmuel went and he threatened the merchants that they better lower the prices. And if they don't, he's going to let it be known that he doesn't agree with. I'm pleased to listen to Rav, but not all the Balabatim, if they'll know that Shmuel disagrees, not all the Balabatim are going to listen to Rav. Some of them will follow Shmuel. Shalekidin, they're supposed to follow their rabbi. Some of them will not follow. So that's what Shmuel threatened the merchant. He said, if you're not going to lower the price, I'm going to fix your wagon. I'm going to tell the people that I don't agree with the rabbi, and then some of them will not buy by you, and you're going to suffer a loss. So it's in your best interest to lower the prices, and you'll get the better business out of it. So in this machlokes, Chazanish points out, you see from the whole premise of the discussion that there is no bal yirah by matzeh and blias kelim. So he says all the poskim write like this, that it's not right. There was a practice in Europe that people used to sell all the chametz dikei kelim to the goy and buy it back after Pesach because they were concerned about Bal Yerah by Matzah and Blias Kelim. So he says that it's a joke. You see from the Gemara that there is no Bal Yerah by Matzah. Adirab, if you sell the Kelim to the Nochri, you have to be Tayyip all over again. Problem with the Gebrokta Kelim, right? By the Hasidim, they have a meaning that they don't eat Gebroks, that the Choshish. It's like all of the Hasidic Zachim, it's against the Gemara. The Hasidim do lefnim Yeshua Sadin. That's how in Yiddish folklore they say, Kenegedidim, Kenegedidim. That's how the belt says. It says, Le'amor, it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Le'amor, it's Chassid. An Amor can't become a Chassid. Why? Because a Chassid does Gegen the Din, lefnim Yeshua Sadin. But if he's an Amor, he won't know what the Din is. And sometimes that's a two-step. He's going to do the Din. So you have to first be a Tamachachim to know the Din. And then do Gegnidin. Achasid is Lefnim Yeshua Sadin. That's how they say jokingly. So there is a Gemara. The Gemara says on Lamed Test on the base, right after the Mishnah, Tana Rabban and Elu Dorm Shein and Boim Ludei Chimus, the following things cannot become Chamus. They say for Ofui. If you have matzah that was baked already, if you have matzah that was baked already, so you can soak it in water all you want and it will not become Chamus. So the Sforim on this Gemara, they quote that the Chassidim started in the Minig, that maybe that was only Bizmana Gemara because the matzahs were baked well. But Bizmana Zeh, maybe we don't bake the matzahs so well. So part of the dough inside remains raw. So, but we left it in the oven, so the all the moisture evaporated. So it's not, it didn't turn into chametz. The liquid evaporated. But if you're going to soak in the water in the house, and maybe some of the dough inside is raw, now that it has liquid, so now it's going to turn into chametz.
Is that roasted or just the caramel?
Cold water also. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you soak it in cold water, it's also. Yeah.
God mentioned I had a minigun, but it's purposely different from the water after
Seifer. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And this Seifer, that Fikir Yehuda, is a Seifer on Shas. He learned, he writes in the Hakdam, his father was a Rav, and his father wanted him to become a big Talmid Chacham, so his father paid the Nachlas David to learn the Chavrusa with his son, to learn with his son. So he writes, the Nachlas David was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He was from the first group of Talmidim. He was invited during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Volozhiner to give Shirim and Volozhiner Yeshiva. And he wrote this son, Nachlas David, on Bava Kama and Bava Tzi, everybody uses. So the author of the Sefer writes that the Nachlas David knew how to learn better than me. So, but I was very bright, so how come he knew how to learn better? So he writes, because Nachlas David was born and brought up in a community that was closer to Vilna. So the influence of the Vilna Goyen had already reached this community. And I was brought up in a community that was further away from Vilna, so the Derech HaLimud of the Grove was not yet felt. So that's why he knew how to learn better than me. And was Bashtet the Derech HaLimud of the Vilna Goyen? What was it? So he says the Derech HaLimud of the Vilna Goyen was that you first study Chumash, and then you study Mishnayos and Gemara, and then you study Shulchan Aruch. As opposed to by the Chassidim and by the others, where the Groz influence was not felt, they would learn, you go now to Satna, you go to other Chassidish places, Square Town, they'll have young children learning Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Shabbos with the Magen Avraham, but they don't know the Gemara. So have in the world that they know what the Magen Avraham is talking about. The Magen Avraham is always holding in the middle of a Marsha. Magen Avraham, you have to know Gemara, Tesis, Marsha. He's always quoting in the middle of a Marsha, a line. So no one knows what it is. Even Talmid Chacham don't know. So you have to look in the Machzah Shefer, you have to look in the Prima Gadim to figure out. So this is all good by Midvah Mamur. If you once learned the Gemara, and you have to refresh your memory, so you look in the Machzah Shekel helps. But if you never learned the Gemara, you have young children, they're learning Yeridei with the Shach and the Taz, but they never learned the Gemara. So the Shach and the Taz also holding always in the middle of, not the middle of a Marshua, over the middle of a Taisus Yontav, in the middle of a Taisus, our Gemara, Arisha, and everything. But if you never learned it, how can you reconstruct? So it's inevitable you're going to reconstruct it incorrectly, so you're going to get everything cockeyed. So he writes, that was the greatness of the Vilna Gaon, that you have to learn everything in the proper order. So he says, the Nachlas David knew how to learn better than me, because he learned everything in order. The Hashpah of the Vilna Gaon had already reached his community. And he lived further away, so the Hashpah didn't yet. So that's the Sefer, the Afika Yehuda, Nizdaf, on Lama Tassim and Beis. He's the one who quotes that famous story, that Rav Chaim Volozhiner visited the Vilna Gaon on Pesach, and he asked him, what does he say about the Chassidish and Minig of not eating Gibrok? So he said it's against the Gemara, so to demonstrate that he doesn't hold from the Minig, he put a Knedel in the window, that everybody should know that there's nothing wrong with Knedel. Yes. So that's...
But they also don't, with Matan Shira, no?
Right, that's another story, right. That's another story. So the by the Chassidim, they have such a Minig, that they're concerned that maybe the matzah wasn't properly baked, and maybe part of it is still raw inside, so that the heat of the oven evaporated all the liquids, so it didn't continue to turn into chametz. But now if I'll soak it in water, so now the liquid can cause it to turn into chametz, that will pose a problem. So that's why they have a meeting not to eat kibrok. But on the last day Pesach, they have a pay the bedavki to eat kibrok to demonstrate that their chassidus, their minig chassidus not to eat kibrok, shouldn't serve as a kitrus on their on the fryer, on the misnagdim, on their brothers, on the misnagdim who do eat gibrok. So it shouldn't serve as a kitrug. So they demonstrate on the last day Pesach, the Ikebrok, to demonstrate that it's only a chumer, that Mikir Adin, it's okay. So the shaila is, if on the last day Pesach, they do have Gibrok, so their kelim became chometzik, so how do they use the kelim next year? So the pashtus is, the shach writes, so some say if a year goes by, that's the Gemara in right, the Gemara Masechus HaBedizor says, if you have barrels that were used for wine. So we have a lot of coolers, and we have a lot of chumers, and we have a lot of coolers. A package of coolers and chumers. So one of the coolers in Samyenim is that if you have barrels that were used for tray for wine, and the wine was emptied out, and the whole year went by and the barrels weren't used at all, so then you don't have to kasher the barrels. Sometimes you have to kasher the barrels, but after Yud Beis Chodesh, you assume that every little bit of bliya vanished into thin air. Everything already evaporated, there's nothing left. So the Pashtus it assumed that this kula is a special kula that's unique to Stam Yenom. So the Chacham Tzvi disagrees and he says no, that this kula applies to all Trefik Kelim. Whenever you have a Trefik Kelim and it wasn't used for 12 months, for a whole year, so you have to Yud Beis Chodesh or Tzmuta. And the Gemara says that when you get to the Yud Beis Chodesh of the barrels, if you off a week, a little more than a week, a week more than a year, a week less than a year, machnish tais, as long as it's a year went by. So that's what many Hasidim assume, that after Yud Beis Chodesh, you can use your Gebrok to Kalim, because it's that's from last year, and this is this new year. The Pashtus is that you have to come up.
We don't pass by other Kalim like this.
No.
Stay from the Kalim, we don't pass it, you can leave it a year, and then
no, the Paschim HaMetzaris, the sheet of the Chachman, see if you have other Tzedadim Elohopkil, let's say if you have glass dishes, so the Mechaber says that glass is not boleya at all, and that's lemaisa glass is not boleya. But the Rambam is machmir that you should treat glass as if it were klicheris, that it's boleya and you can't even do hagolim. And then there are some poskim who say so that's already a chumah. So let's say I had glass kelim that that were used for milchiks, and now I want to use them for fleishik. So if a whole year went by, and according to the Mechaber, the glass was never balei in the first place. And then Rabbi Kivege quotes also from, there's a Ritva in the end of Avodah Zarah who quotes from his Rebbe. The Ritva was a Talmud of the Ra'or, a Baron Alevi who was a Talmud of the Ramban. So the Ra'or was a very independent thinker. The Rajba was a Talmud of the Ramban. He was normal. He followed the Ramban. Once in a while he disagreed. Sure, okay, this is normal. The Ra'or was always very independent thinker, very original. Everything was different. So he only had one set of dishes. He didn't have fleshing dishes, milchik dishes. He only had one set of dishes, and he kept on putting labels on. After 24 hours, a klish ain't a ben yomo, min atoira is not treif. Yeah. It's only a gzera de rabban, a gzera ain't a ben yomo, a ben yomo. So his opinion was that the gzera de rabban on a klish ain't a ben yomo was only instituted if it's isura bala, if it's a treifitli. If it was a tera bala, if it was fleshing a milchik, so the gzera was never instituted. I remember many years ago, the first year I was a rebbe in the yeshiva, we were learning psachim. That was over 35 years ago. So I had a student who had come from the Jewish Theological Seminary. He got smicha in yeshiva. He knows how to learn very nicely. He's there, Afroma, and now he lives in Flatbush. Very nice boy. So I remember we were learning this, and he says, wow, in the seminary they never heard of this. We would have heard this already a long time ago. How do they keep this one a secret? That the Ra'or only had one set of dishes? Because that terrible, you don't have to kash it. So Rebbe Kivege has such a tshuva. Let's say it's glass dishes, and the Mechaber holds that it's not balei, but we're machmer on that. And it's after Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Chacham Tzvi says you don't have to kash it, but we're machmer on that. And then it's a terabola. So the Ra'or holds you don't have to kash it at all. And then the tour quotes in the name of the Baloitur that a klicheres that hagola doesn't help. That's only if you do once hagola, but if you do three times hagola, then it's as far that it does help. So the Baloitur is mekel on all yisurim derabbanan. So he says in a klicheres that ain't a ben yomo, the whole yisur is only derabbanan. To begin with. So Rebbe Kivege has such a kula. He says if you have glass dishes that are terrible, that are milchik, and it's after 12 months, and you do hagola gimel pamim, you have three pots of burning hot water on the fire. And you dip it, it doesn't mean you dip it three times into the same pot. You dip it into one pot, second pot, third pot, so then hagola helps. So sometimes, that's where Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva where he's also mitzarev along these lines. On china dishes, he talks, not on glass, he talks on china dishes, that they glaze, and maybe the glazing presents a thing, but they have different tzadim l'hokam. So we're mitzarev, on occasion we're mitzarev this chacham tzvi together with other tzadim l'hokam.
But with the clay heresy, one of the problems was that you spray, they won't do it properly because spray is great.
Yeah. On libur.
On libur.
Yeah. Gemara says, Klicheres, Hagola doesn't help, but the Gemara says Libun does help. No, so do Libun. So the Gemara says, no, Dilmachai Salei Dumapati, we're afraid. Yeah. So that's what some of the Chassidish say, that even though they used all of their Kalim for Gibroks, they used the soup bowls and they used the pot, they made everything Gibroks on the last day Pesach. When it comes next year, are they allowed to use the Chomitzdik Kalim? All the Pesachdik Kalim became Chomitzdik because of the Gibroks. So they say it's after Yud Beis Chodesh. Right, so the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, the give or take is also, as long as it's next year's season, So that's also considered Yed Beis Cheder. That's what the Gemara says when it gets to the Stam Yena. So that's what many say. But the Pashtus says you don't have to come on to the Yed Beis Cheder. You have to come on to the Chacham Tzvi. Because the Shach writes in Yeredeya, in the second Chelik Yeredeya, that if there's something that's only awesome Itam Minik, it's not awesome in Atar, it's not awesome in the Rabbanon, then once the Kli is Ena Ben Yomo, once 24 hours have gone by, so you don't have to kasha the Kli. Even if the Kli is traced from the Rabbanon, let's say I cooked something that's awesome from the Rabbanon in the Kli, so then the Shach says, even after 24 hours go by, you still have to kasha it. Aye, isn't that Xera Lexera? The whole Trafus was only traced from the Rabbanon to begin with. And then you're going to say, and after 24 hours go by, Minatar it's Muta. So what's the Xera? The Rabbanon, Xera, Ena Ben Yomo, it's a Ben Yomo, isn't it Xera Lexera? So the Shach writes, even though it's a shtickled problem, it's Xera Lexera, still, you have to kasher a trefa kli, even though it's 24 hours man by zayin ben yom, even though the whole isa was only the rabban. So there on the page of Shlomo Eg on the bottom of the page in the Yerodeya refers you to a Tshuvas Nadi Behuda who disagrees with the Shach. He thinks that that it's not correct. He thinks Mikra Adin, a trefa kli that only became traced in the rabbanon. Once you wait 24 hours, he thinks Mikra Adin you don't have to kasher. But we don't follow the Nadi Behuda. We follow the Shach that you do have to kash. So the Shach himself writes in the second Chelik Yerodeh, quotes the Tshuva from one of the Achareinim. It's not his original. He says, but what if the Kli is not even trafed, not Minatar, not Midirabbanon? The Kli is only trafed because of a minik. Let's say they cooked by mistake, they cooked kidneys. I remember Amaisha Shahaya, that a man called me up all frantic. He came home from the office on Chol HaMoed, and his wife wanted to surprise him, and she wants to have an exciting dinner for the children. So Chol HaMoed, she bought corn on the cob, Chol HaMoed Pesach. She bought corn on the cob and she cooked it in the Pesach Tikkat pots. And then when the husband came home, so she served the corn on the cob. So he came home and started this game. What did he do? It's all kitzis. He made chase the whole house. All the Pesach Tikkat came and became chefs. So they had a whole problem. What are they going to do? So they called me up on the phone. So I said, you just put away the corn in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. It's only kitzis. So it's not by your rabbi, Moshe. And you wait 24 hours on the pot. The Shach says that if you wait 24 hours on the Kli that only became trace because of the minig, so there's no Gzeira in a Ben Yomo, it's a Ben Yomo. So the Pashtus is, the Gebrox is also the same thing. We don't eat kidneys on the last day Pesach, but Gebrox, even those who don't eat Gebrox all Pesach, they do eat Gebrox on the last day Pesach. So Gebrox is more cow than the minig of kidneys. So on kidneys, all you have to do is wait 24 hours. So Gebrox is a Kavachan, just wait 24 hours. You don't have to wait Yud Beis Chodesh. Just wait 24 hours and sure.
Make Pesach okay. Again.
Okay.
Gebrox
and
Ish-Gebrox. And I'm sure the
Caleb
get all mixed up in
there. So that's not right. For those who are makbid on Gebrox, they should be makbid not to eat non-Gebrox the food that was cooked. Okay. Okay. Another writer. Another writer, stay home. Yeah. Regarding the Arba Kaisus on Pesach night, there is a famous machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam. What is the nature of the Arba Kaisus? The Tosfos shita is that it's like Kiddush and Abdullah, that you're not required that each and every member of the household should drink his own wine. The father of the household says Kiddush, and everybody listens, and they say Amen, right? So they're all Yotze. And the father of the household doesn't have to drink the whole cup. He drinks the Malaybuk, Malaybuk. So Tosfos says that's on the first daf, on the Tzadik test on the base. That you don't need that everyone in the household should drink. That says the shita that the four arba kaisus are four brachas alakos. This is kiddush alakos, and this is asher gyalanu alakos, and this is birchas hamazon alakos. Let's say bench mezumin at a chasana, bench mezumin alakos, or shalashur is alakos, whatever. So everybody has a cup of wine. One person says the benching alakos and shay, and everybody gets it. The brach alakos. You don't have to have. Everybody should have. And then you have the Bichas Hashir, the Nishmas, with the Yahalalucha. You have the Bichas Hashir alakos. That's Taisa Shita. The Rambam came up with a Chiddush, B'chol Davadar Chayiv Adam, B'haris Asatzman. You have to demonstrate that you're a Ben Chorvin. So the way to demonstrate is to drink a toast. So your freedom to drink a Lachayim. So it doesn't help that he drinks a Lachayim. I can still be an Eved if I'm the waiter. If I'm the servant in the household and the master is drinking Lachaim, it doesn't help for me. I'm still a servant. So you need each person to drink his own abakosis. So that's the fundamental machlekes tesis in the Rambam. That's famous. Rav Avla Soloveitchik points it out. But the Maharal Prague has it already before Rav Avla. He has it by Riches in his Sefer on Arba Pesachim. Same as also a machlekes, this part Rav Avla pointed out. Same as the machlokes is the Rambam and Tosafot regarding Haseda. What is Haseda all about? So Tosafot Shita is there is no mitzvah of Haseda. Haseda is a prat in the din of matzah. How are you? You're matzah, so you're supposed to fulfill matzah by Haseda. Midirabbanah. All din of Haseda is not midirabbanah, it's not midatur. That's why Tosafot discusses Tosafot in the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch discuss the possibility if the person ate the matzah, the afikam and beli Haseda, maybe have to eat over again. What the Gemara discusses Haseda by the Arba Kaisis. Two of the Arba Kaisis need Haseda and the other two do not need Haseda. So the Gemara says we're not sure which two, so we go to Chumra and we have Haseda on all four. So Tosafot discusses what's the din. Haseda is the correct way to fulfill the Arba Kaisis. So what's the din if you drank the Arba Kaisis? Beli Haseda, you have to drink over again. So whole people in the Tosafot in the Rosh in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam doesn't hold like that at all. The Rambam holds that Haseba is not a din how to be yotzei matzah. It's not a detail how to be yotzei abikosis. Haseba is a separate mitzvah. B'chol davadar chayv adam laharis etatme. You have to demonstrate that you're a ben chayrin. So there are two ways to demonstrate that you're a ben chayrin. So one form of demonstration is Haseba, and one form of demonstration is the drinking of the abikosis. So that's a fundamental machlokes between Tosafot and the Rambam. That's what Tosafot says. They realize that not everybody agrees, but they're pushing for that opinion. They think that that's the more correct opinion. And then they say, you don't have to drink the whole kos, you drink a malay lugma, however much you drink from Abdullah Kiddush. Who says you have to drink the whole kos? According to the Rambam, no, it has nothing to. That's one aspect of Abakosis, that it's four brochas on the kos. So stating more also, that Abakosis, one aspect of Abakosis is what Tosafot said. But then the other aspect is Chayrus. Chayvaram laharis is asma kilo yatsma tzayin. You want to demonstrate that you're a mencharin by drinking the Abakosis, not just by reciting a brocha la kos. So drinking, mikre din lachatskili should drink kola kos. And b'diyevet, if you drink rov kos, so then you say ruba kukuloi. But it wouldn't help over here maloi lugmav. Maloi lugmav is a din, if you say kiddush, abdallah, so the din is amavarach sarach sheyitom. In order that it should be considered a brocha lakos, you have to sip some of the wine. So how much of a sip do you have to take? A mashu? The Gemara says maloi lugmav is sufficient. But by Arba Kaisis, the Rama's opinion is maloi lugmav is not enough. The Gemara says you need rov kos. So the Rama understands kibshuta lachatzchila. That's what the Bach says, lachatzchila kola kos. And Miriyevet Rov Hakos. Gemara says in Brachas that when you want to bench Alakos, that's a special Indian of Brach Alakos, so the Kosh Lebracha needs Shtifo Vahadocha. In Shulchan Aruch they have a Rashi Tevis. Chamisha Dinim Nemer B'Kosh Lebracha, Chai Moli Shtifo Hadocha. So where's Chamisha? It's only four. Chai Moli Shtifo Hadocha. So in Shulchan Aruch it says it's a Rashi Tevis. Chai Moli Shtifo Hadocha. Ches Mem Shin Hei. It's Chamisha Dinim. It's really four Dinim. It's four Dinim. But Ches Mem Shin Hei is a Rashi Tevis. That's in the Mechaber. That Rashi Tevis. Chamisha Dinim Nemer B'Kosh Lebracha. Chai Moli Shtifo Hadocha.
So the Chai.
Chai sounds like you shouldn't have Yayin Mozuk. Should not be Yayin Mozuk. So Tosafot Svek Takasha Fakir. The Gemara says that everybody agrees, even though there's a machlokes if you drink wine that didn't have any water mixed in, whether it's Bar Piagofen or Shahakol, a machlokes Satanayim. But everybody agrees that for Kosher Bracha, you should be Mozuk. So how can the Gemara say here that you need Chai? So Geit Avek, a ganze discussion in Tosafot and the Rishonim, what does it mean? What does it mean, Chai? The Talmud Rishonim say means you should pour it fresh from the barrel. You shouldn't have it sitting around open. You shouldn't have an open barrel and then pour the wine for benching, because that's going to be half spoiled. Open up a fresh barrel to cover the kosher broch. Others say that the kli should be chai, not the wine. The kli should be no pegim, it shouldn't be chipped. The becher should be shalom. So this shtifa v'adocha is a din by kiddush also. You have to have shtifa v'adocha. You have to rinse it in the inside, rinse it in the outside. Let's say you have a kli. It's all clean in the inside, but the outside is all dirty. So that's not acceptable. It has to be clean in the inside and the outside. The Magen Avraham writes, if you put away your becher in a cabinet and it's clean from last week, so you don't have to rinse it out. And by the Chassidim, they rinse it out anyway, because in the Kafachaim, he quotes from the Kafachaim by Asfardi. On Shulchan Aruch, so he quotes from the Kabbalah Svarim, that Al-Pi Kabbalah should rinse it out even though it's clean. Even though the Al-Pi Rurim, and the Magen Avraham says, The only chashash is it may be dirty, but al pi kabbalah there's an inyan to rinse it out, even if it's not dirty. So that's what they quote. Rav Kook had the practice that he rinsed out for all arbekoses. Why should you only be makbid by benching and by kiddush? You should be makbid shtifa v'adocha by all the arbekoses. Why? It's also a kashal bracha.
But the fathers don't make a bracha on those other two cases.
No, no, that's they don't get it right
to yeah, but it's still a
question. It's still a kashal bracha.
The bracha is
the same. The bracha is no, but you say Asher Gialonu. He's saying the Asher Gialonu, and he's saying the Yishtabach. The kashal bracha is not because he's saying bracha Gialonu, because he's saying a bracha of Yishtabach, a bracha of Asher Gialonu over it. So that's what they called Rav Kook used to be medactic, to empty out all the cases for the first, the second, the third, and the fourth, for all the cases. Even without Rav Kook, for Kiddush for sure, that you start off, you need Shtifa Vadocha to rinse out all the cups inside and outside, and for Koshal Bichas Amos and Shtet also, he's supposed to rinse it inside and outside. Rav Kook only multiplied it by two. He said the second and the fourth crisis also, you should have Shtifa Vadocha. The Pashto says that it should be so.
And the drop of water that you usually put back into the bottle before you pour the wine for the Kiddush.
The drop of water that you pour into the bottle. That's a different practice. That's something else.
They used to pour the high wine into the course and then be mosaic. Two-thirds, not the mosaic, put in two-thirds high, and then you mosaic in the course. So that's what means high. You take the concentrated, the regular the wine without dilute.
High in the course, and then you do the mosaic in the course. That's what some of the Rishonim say.
Yeah.
Ben Yoni writes like that. Ben Yoni writes like that. He quotes the Gemara says like that.
Yeah.
That when you start benching, the course is only two thirds full.
And you come to a certain part.
When you come to the end of Noida Lecha, then you fill it up. So Tchai, at the beginning of the bench, and Tchai, then the middle, you fill that up, you make it Moses. Aye, but there has to be Mole.
Yeah.
Thanks to Rabbi Ben Yoni, it has to be Mole. So one answer they give, it only has to be Mole from that point on in the benching, from the end of Noida Lecha. Then the Rabbi Yoni says, no, the real answer is that's called mole. Mole does mean it's mamish up to the top, and every time you're going to pick it up, you're going to shake and you're going to spill it. Mole means if it's one, if it's two-thirds full, it's also called mole.
Uh-huh.
As long as it's obviously more than 50%. Ruba kakula, if most of it is full, that's called mole. A lot of people make a mistake. They think that mole is not let it by chasana. They fill up the bech. It has to be overflowing. It has to spill on the kala's gown. It has to spill all over. Everybody has to get sticky fingers. No. They told me Rav Shlomo Zalman brought up the Feirish Arai from the Gemara and Brachas that bedafke not so. That when they make kiddush, the Gemara has a machloikis ayachoshesh yishum netzoytzois. That you have to wash until it's yadayim before you drink, before you fill up the cup of kiddush. What's the shaila? Ayachoshesh said some of the wine will spill over the side and stam yadayim shniyo, so the yadayim will be metameya. So he said if it's the way people fill up the becha of wine now, kemat it always spills over. It always spills. How could there be a machlekes and we say you don't have to be choshesh leni tzotzis? It's a sif in the Gemara that it's called mole, even though it's not the you don't have to hold it in a miraculous fashion.
It's also the same thing.
Yeah, but the only thing is if you have a coat that has exactly a revius, then you're not going to fill it all up. So you don't have revius. It doesn't help that the revius is empty. Doesn't help if you have a rod revius. Ruba kukula haste. If you have a full revius and you drink a rod of the revius, but if you don't have a revius, just the cup is machzik theoretically revius, but you don't have that much tightness. But if you have a larger cup and it's full almost to the top, that's called malik. That's Rabbi Yoni and Brochus. That's called malik. It can be a little lower than the top.
For Abdullah
is a different inyan. For Abdullah, it says it should be mole al kol gadois. Yeah. And somehow the linux that the dafka, they have it overflowing. I used to learn mechabrusa with a doctor many years ago. So he, over 20 years ago, so he told me that the emergency wards in the hospitals in New York are always fuller on Leil Pesach of religious Jews who get sick from eating the maror, from eating too much matzah, from drinking abrikosis that they're not supposed to. So it's really a tragedy. This is supposed to be Zman Chereseinu. You're supposed to be celebrating that we're B'nai Chorin. So B'nai Chorin should take care of their health. Maybe by the other nations they celebrate by getting drunk and getting injured. But that's not the way we're supposed to celebrate. So people should be medactic. If someone, let's say some people are not allowed to eat so much matzah. I remember I live in Washington Heights. Rabbi Schwab, the last few years of his life, wasn't allowed to eat bread a whole year. So he told me Shabbos and Yom Tov he doesn't eat bread either for the last 10 years of his life. He said on the first two nights of Pesach he eats a kezayis matzah, that's all. So the Magen Avraham says that with respect to Dinam Derais, you have to be machmer that a kezayis is a chatzi beitzah. With respect to Dinam Derabanan, you can be mekel that a kezayis is a shlish beitzah. Machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, what's the volume? So he said the first night of Pesach is Derais. This part is already Ayekish Shechesman. So the first night of Pesach is Derais, so he used to eat the volume of a chatzi beitzah. And the second night of Pesach was only Derabanan, so he only ate a shlish beitzah. That was all. He didn't eat five kezayim. We have a minute to eat many kezayim and gigantic kezayim. If a person has a condition, so he should be careful, not to prove chumras. And if there are people like that, they're only allowed to eat one kezayim. So that kezayim should be at the end of the meal. So they shouldn't wash at the beginning. They should have maror at the beginning of the meal. Okay, start say bar pi adoma, and then you have soup, say shakel or whatever. It was knedlach, say bar min mizaynus, but not lady knedlach or something. Not lady matzah, not lady knedlach. Okay. So they say shahakal of adoma on the soup, and then whatever on the chicken, whatever they're going to eat, and then when they're holding by yafi kaimen, so then they wash netilus yadayim, and then they say hamotzi alachilas matzah nita one kezayis, and that's it. They're supposed to say then they have to say bar nefoshes on everything they ate before. If you say birchas hamazon for a whole meal that you ate before you wash for bread, so that it doesn't help. You have to say bar nefoshes first. They should say burn the fashis, and then they wash, and they'll eat the kezayis matzah. That'll be the afikomen, and then they bench. They shouldn't look for a midas chassidus. Try to stop themselves to eat more. They're not allowed to eat,
What about grape juice for people that find it difficult to tolerate too much wine, or are not allowed to eat, to drink wine?
So that was a big machlekes. Rav Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that since the Rambam's sheet is that the Arba Kaisers are supposed to show Kairus, Laharit, a toast, a Lachayim, so you don't make a toast on orange juice, you don't make a toast on tomato juice, how can you make a toast on grape juice? The garnish, the toast has to be on something that contains
alcohol,
yes, has to be Amida de Meshaket to show that you're a Ben Kairus. Has to have some percentage of alcohol. The Moshe felt that you can't use grape juice for Arba Kaisers. And Rav Soloveitchik thought not so. He said when he was healthy, so he always used to use, he always insisted on using wine for Kiddush. He wouldn't use grape juice because of the Rambam's opinion that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that Yayin Mevushal may not be used for Kiddush. For Arba Kaisers it may be used. For the second, third, and fourth Kaisers he may use Yayin Mevushal. Even for Abdullah, I think many Rishonim say he may use it. On a special din of Kiddush. That he's supposed to use for Kiddush such a wine that's Roy Lenatzach Agabi HaMizbeach. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, to the exclusion of what? That if you squeeze out grapes on Erev Shabbos and you strain it out and you have grape juice, so you're not allowed to use that on the Mizbeach. That's not Yayin, that's straight from the grapes. But that, since B'diyevit, if you would be Menatzach and on the Mizbeach, it would be kosher, so you're allowed to use it for Kiddush Lachatchila. Sechet Adam Eshkel Shaladovim on Erev Shabbos. I remember Rabbi Schwab always used to say this. Every year used to say, a businessman travels out of town, he gets stuck somewhere, where is he going to get wine for Kiddush? Where is he going to go? I said, what's the problem? You go to the store, you buy grapes, you squeeze out the grapes, you make your own wine. What's so difficult about making wine? Years ago in Europe, they didn't sell grapes all year long. There was a season. There was a grapes. Now you get grapes any part of the world.
Raisin wine.
Okay, men used to make raisin wine.
Raisin
wine is complicated though. You can't bake in a day.
Right, you have to set.
You have to have it soaked, yeah. But squeezing out grapes and making grape juice, that's very easy. So the Gemara says, what do you mean that wine that's not kosher l'nasach hagam mizbech may not be used for kiddush? What do you mean? To the exclusion of grape juice? No, the Gemara says that's good l'chatchila. Ela, the Gemara says it means if you have wine that already started to spoil, and it smells like
vinegar.
It smells like vinegar already. It smells like vinegar. Or it's a hella kemochim. It already has particles that are floating in it. So if it already started to spoil, so you're not allowed to use it for a kiddush. So the Rambam quotes from the Goyim, not only does the Gemara's klal come to exclude Yayin Shehelo Kemochim and Yayin Sherecho Ra, smells like vinegar, even Yayin Mavushal, which is no good for Nisach HaGavi HaMizbech, is also no good for Kiddush. So the Rishonim say it's only for Kiddush. Rav Dola is good, and for the last three, the Abba Kosis is good. So Rav Soloveitchik always
used to be medakbek to use wine dafke. However, apparently he thought that the pasteurization didn't make it yayim avushel because it's not really mekalkalit. That's a shaila.
You know, they had a tasting of wine, and they right up in the.
They're in the newspapers, yeah.
And they said that they couldn't tell the difference.
The biggest expert couldn't tell the difference. Yeah. There was a big. There was a big seminar. When was it? 2 weeks ago in Flatbush. So all of our bottom were giving all the different opinions about the different things about wine. So the last speaker in the seminar was the Balabasa Kedem. So he gets up and he disagrees with everybody who came before. He says, these are bottom. He says, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach didn't know what he was talking about. Rav Yashiv doesn't know what he was talking about. Moshe Feinstein doesn't know. No one knows what they're talking. He's the only one who knows what he's talking about. And he starts saying facts that are just not true. So one of the facts that he said was this. He says, they have the big expert can tell the difference. They can tell the difference between what's mavushal, what's not mavushal. So the speaker before him, between wine that was mavushal, wine that's not mavushal. So one of the rabbanim had said previously, an hour before him, he said, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in his tshuva, the big experts can tell the difference between yayin mavushal and yashuvus, but most of the people cannot tell the difference. So he says. He repeats again, the big experts can tell. Now they write in the newspapers, even the biggest experts couldn't tell the difference between the mavushal and the non-mavushal wine. Right. It's not true. He said a lot of things that were just not true. What the rabbanim said corresponded to the fact, and what the balabas said didn't exactly correspond.
He wanted to sell wine.
So he was upset. Why all of rabbanim were saying different comments?
Rashi's
opinion is that yayin mavushal is shahakal. Correct. Because it's inferior, it's a shtani ligriyusa. Let's say you have an orange and you cook the orange. Normally in America we eat raw oranges. If you cook an orange, it's a shtani ligriyusa. What if I imagine it probably tasted better when it was raw? So you say shahakal, it's considered a synthetic food. If you have, let's say, potatoes, so if you eat it raw, that's not normal. So you say shahakal. If you cook it, that's normal. Then you say hu adama. But if you have a food that tastes good the way it is, and if you cook it, it's a shtari ligriyusa, it's mekalkalit a little bit. So Rashi's opinion is Taisa quotes. Rashi's opinion is that yai mavushal is shahakal. And Taisa disagrees and says, no, yai mavushal is inferior, but it still retains the bracha bar pi agaf. So it's interesting, Rabbi Yankif Emden has a sefer on Shulchan Aruch, the Morik Tziyah. So he says, even though the minig is like Taisa's, but he says, aminik shtus. And he holds that very independent thinker of Yankee family. He always sticks his head in Machlek is Rashi and Taisus. He always takes his stand on the, you know, Tanoim. So Rabbi Yankee Zemden says, even though it's an old minik, centuries already, he says, what can I do? Rashi is right. We got to follow Rashi. The Yai Mavushal is Shahakal. It's a Shtani Ligriyusa. You shouldn't say Bar Pi Agafen. But he says, what if you have Yai Mavushal, for example, cognac, or you have brandy, that's Yai Mavushal more expensive.
Distilled,
so that's a shtani lemal yusa. So he says, oh, then he's masking with the meaning. Then he says, yai mavushal is a shtani ligri. If it's a shtani ligri yusa, it's inferior. Then he says, shahakol. The Shlomo Zalman says that anar yai mavushal. Most of the people can't tell the difference. So that's not a shtani ligri. That's not called yai mavushal. And if you have cognac, that's a shtani lemal yusa. Other rabbi, then it's better. So let's say if a nochri will handle.
Cognac.
A Jewish wine company makes cognac or brandy, and it's absolutely mavushal. Otherwise, it wouldn't. It's distilled. It's mavushal. It evaporates, and then they condense it again. So it's absolutely mavushal. So the Rabbi Yankee Femden writes in his sefer, but that's a shtani lemal yusa. So there's no reason why it shouldn't retain the din of yain. So he says, yeah, the cognac and the brandy is bar pi agafen. 100%. That's the shtani lemal yusa. Retains the status of wine. And if the nochri is going to handle the kosher cognac, maga akum melasa, because it retains the din of yain. That's what he writes.
But if you use wine that is not mavushal and you have goyim in the dining room, it's a lot worse.
So that's the question. What constitutes yain mavushal?
Yeah.
So if you have grape juice, that's the shtani ligri yusa. When they cook the wine and they make grape juice out of it, it's a bega hargit, it'll never turn into wine.
But what if you mix it up with wine? For the agriculturists, because you cannot tolerate four cups of wine, and you mix.
So Rav Moshe has the whole later. Rav Moshe has this chiddush. He thinks that grape juice is not derech eres, that's not good for a toast, and he thinks they have to have wine. He thinks grape juice is bar pi agafen. He thinks that that is good for Kiddush and Avdala, but he thinks for Apikosis it's no good. Because of the Rambam's opinion that the Apikosis is not just a Brocha Lakos like this, it's Kiddush and Avdala. No, it's a Lachayim, it's a toast.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to have a toast on grape juice. But he says, since it is Yayin, it is Bar Piagofen, it says you mix in a little bit of wine and it has already a little bit of alcoholic content to it, has a little spunk to it, so then he says it's already good
even
for Apikosis.
Even if the Yayin is Mavush.
Yeah. Our practice is that our Yai Mevushel, we do say Bar Piagrafen. We do use the Yai Mevushel. We don't follow Rav Yankee Zemden. He's a very independent thinker. Yeah.
We are Makbet of Yai Mevushel because it goes to the Goy's hand.
Okay, correct. But there are those who try to be Makbet. Rav Tzolreshi used to try to be Makbet not to use Yai Mevushel for Kiddush. For the Yaster, the Esther Abikaisis, it is good. For Abdullah, for Hassan, it is good. But for Kiddush, the Rambam's opinion is, and it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, and it says we don't follow the Rambam. But since it's mentioned, so he tried to be Mahara for that. So the grape juice he considered Yai Mavushal because that's Ishtani Ligri Yusuf. The Bishul affects it negatively. It's never going to turn into wine. It's never going to be able to ferment and turn into wine. But the Bishul on all the pasteurized wines, he thought that that's not called like Reb Shlomo Zalman. He didn't think that that's called Yai Mavushal. Because it's not Ishtani Ligri Yusuf. It tastes just as good after as it tasted before.
You've got to go to the Rebbe's Seder. You've got to go to the Rebbe's Seder.
Okay.
And see what's going on.
Okay.
You quoted before in Russia that you know that Maganafi doesn't, the pasteurized isn't really taught by Maganafi before it's called Ishtani Ligri Yusuf.
Reb Shlomo Zalman. Reb Shlomo Zalman said like that. Rabbi Yashiv had another argument. Rabbi Yashiv quoted a Rush, and a few Rishonim would say that Yayin Mevushal, the Nachri does not, so said they were bothered with a certain kasha, which is a questionable kasha, the Rishonim were bothered with. So the answer that they gave was that it's a milta de la shchicha la gaza be'rabbana. Since it's unusual
to cook the wine,
so since a milta de la shchicha, so the chacham didn't make it there. The Rabbi Yashir Taina, but Bizman Azed became very popular. So the Balabas from the wine company, who was the last speaker, so he thought he was going to have the last word, so he said, what are you talking about? Rabbi Yashiv doesn't know what he's talking about. He says, the only ones who cook wine are the Frumi Yidin, because they're worried about Maganachri. He says, none of the Goyish companies cook wine. Happens that it's not true. Absolutely not true, because when they were making kosher wine under supervision in one of the Goyish companies, everything, they had a kosher or a kalim, they had to have supervision, so they pastured, so they cooked the wine. They make it Mavushal. So the company was afraid it's going to ruin the whole flavor of the wine and goes under their brand name. So then after they manufactured it and they saw that it tasted delicious, so they introduced it on all of their Goyish wines. The Mavushal, it improved it. It enhanced the flavor of the wine. So Hamza Rabbi Yashid is right. Not everything about the wine is the way the Balabas presented it at the end of that seminar.
All I know is
they're different opinions. They're different opinions. So Rabbi Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv and Eretz Yisrael are of the opinion that the Mavushal today is Ishtani, it's not Ishtani Ligri Yusuf, and therefore the Maga Nochri should still last. And Ramosha Feinstein didn't agree. Even though we still say Bar Piagofen, it's still possible not to Chagavi Hamizbeach.
Right now the OU is holding that it's not a problem.
Yeah? Okay. The Maga Nochri does not ask.
No.
Not kosher.
No.
That's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Goyim. If you have sugar added, that's a machlekes. The Rambam quotes the Goyim and he disagrees. So that, they quote Rav Elva the Soloveitchik explained, what's by state the machlekes? They said, right, so it says in the Pita Makhteris, Im Dosam Bodvash, Solo. So the Minchas Chinuch writes, he's not sure how to translate that line. If you mix in sugar, if you mix in dvash into the teres, solo. Solo means the whole carbon is possible, the whole teres is possible. No, it just means lemaisa. You can't be mocked to the teres because if you burn it on the mizbeach, you'll be in violation of loisak tiro on the dvash. But it doesn't possible. For what good reason should it possible? The k'taris, it doesn't possible the carbon. If you mix in a little sugar, you can't be makrivit because of the sugar. But the rest of the carbon is kosher. So if you have sugar added into wine, if you lump shot stola, the whole carbon becomes possible. So the whole wine is labeled as yayin, which is not roi l'nasach agabi amizbeir. So then you can't use it for kiddush either. But if you say no, nash psola, not to be taken literally, not psola. Bottom line, you can't be makriv on the mizbeir because you'll be in violation of the din of makriv zayin, the sugar on the mizbeir. Right. But there's no such issue in kiddush. So the wine is kosher l'nasach agabi amizbeir, and there is no issue of Torah dvash in the kiddush. Rabbi will explain that that's the machlok is the Rambam and the Gaonim on the assumption that Yayin Mevushal is no good for Kiddush because the Yayin itself is pasul or not. What would you say if you added on sugar? Would that pasul or not? Yeah, so now the wine companies who add on a lot of sugar, so they have it, so they want to tell you that it's kosher even according to the Gaonim who say that it's no, even according to the Rambam. The Rambam says if you add on sugar, so the whole wine is no good. So they don't add on sugar. They add on sugar that came from wine. They take wine, and they take out the sugar from that wine, and then they pour that sugar into the other wine. So what if you mix two wines together? One wine has more sugar. One wine is sweeter than the other. So you're going to call that Sorah Drash. That's not Sorah Drash. So that's what they do over here. They take wine, and they take the sweet flavor from that wine. So when it says with sugar added, it's not really sugar. And a lot of the, I think it's in Kedem Taka. It's not that it has sugar added. It's sugar that originated from wine. And they suggest could be
especially sweet.
So that's the question. So that's a chiddush. Maybe that's not called sugar added because it came from wine. Questionable whether the pashtus is it. Yes.
Only through bishul, not through adding sugar.
It's still lost through. I'm trying to write. He's not sure. How about it's there two. The text in the Rambam says it's a question of girsa in the Rambam in Hilchas Yisurim Mizbeach. So the Rambam says if you cook the wine, or in our standard edition says if you cook the wine, or if the wine was nishtana ligriusa, then it's no good for nisach agavim mizbeach. So it sounds like if you cook the wine, even if it improves it,
yeah,
or it's a shtani ligriusa, it's soured already or something, even though it wasn't cooked. So Shlomo Zalman thinks that that's probably a misprint because he has other girsas. He thinks more correct should say if you cooked it till it became ligriusa, but if you cooked it and it stayed the same or it even improved it, he thinks maybe it would be kosher or mizbeach. But then he says maybe not, because the din is that if you cook the chaylev, you can't be makter on mizbeach. And if you cook the shemen, you can't mix it into the. If you cook the dam shebishloi, is no good for zrikas.
So maybe this is only a din on mizbeach. Why should that also be a din by Rashi? What does it want to do
by kiddush?
Why should it be?
So the Gaon read the Gemara like that. Tosis says the Gemara never said that. Tosis says the Gemara in Bava Basa Dapsad Zayin says that yayin that's pasul anasach agavi mizbeach you're not allowed to use for kiddush. The Gemara says it only goes on two cases. If it smells like vinegar, it began to spoil, or if it has the particles floating in it because it started to spoil. But if it didn't start to spoil just because it's no good for the mizbech, what does it got to do with kiddush? And the Rambam quotes from the Gaonim not so, that Yayin Mevushal, since it's no good for mizbeach, it's also no good for kiddush. And then they have the machlekes, the Rambam, the Gaonim, but if you have sugar added, does that bin also apply to kiddush, or that's only by mizbeach?
Alright. Have a regular one.
Good. Okay. So don't have a kosher. Good. Good. Kosher is on there. A good answer.